Welcome to the Wealth Studying Podcast. This is episode 27. It's September 19th, 2014. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. In this episode, we're going to answer listener questions. Before we get started, just wanted to welcome all of our new listeners and remind you, if you haven't done so, go back and listen to the first 10 episodes. That's where we lay down the fundamentals and the foundation of the 10 wealth-building principles. And then each subsequent episode, we relate each of those principles to helping you build wealth. I'd also like to thank everyone that's gone out and subscribed to the show or rated it or has offered a review in iTunes. If you haven't done that and you want to help out, that would be greatly appreciated. So again, thanks to all you that have made that happen. So let's just jump right into today's main topic and answer listener questions. And whenever I get questions, I always kind of consolidate them down so that they hopefully answer the question that the person had, and then as well, they're broad information for everybody. So I may take two or three similar questions and then gel them all down into one common topic, and that's what I'm going to do today. A lot of you have written in and asked where I receive my information, specifically, like what type of articles do I read, where do I source them from? Well, I will refer you back to Wealth Building Principle Number 8, that's Episode Number 8, Decrypt Propaganda. And there I talk about the triangulation method, basically saying that I don't believe any one source. So I'll take two or three news sources, try and triangulate, figure out which one's actually telling me the truth, assuming that the truth is somewhere, not necessarily in the middle, but an element of each story does have some truth to it. But as far as my favorite sources, I really like Investor's Business Daily. I actually do meetups with them, and I'd encourage you to look in your area if you are interested in learning more about being an individual investor. Check out meetup.com and search on Investor's Business Daily. You can also do it through the Investors Business Daily website at investors.com. Look for meetups there. All the large cities and even most of the smaller communities do have a meetup. The meetings are sponsored by Investors Business Daily, but they're organized and held by the local volunteers. Investors Business Daily provides formats and lesson plans. It's a good place to meet like-minded people, learn more about being a retail investor. But getting back to my sources, so I like Investors Business Daily, Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, that's the Financial Times out of London, Reuters, and Bloomberg. Those are my five go-to sources for reading daily articles about individual stocks and then overall market information. Again, I think if you triangulate between those five sources, you'll get a good idea of where the truth is and where investor sentiment is. These are all subscription services, but if you do go to their individual websites, they do have some free access where I think if you give them your email address, they'll sign you up and give you some limited access to not all the articles. But again, unless you're doing this as a professional, I'm sure it's probably a good enough source for your needs. People also ask me about where I get my general information from, not necessarily market-specific, like I say, get from the Wall Street Journal. I really like the New York Times. I don't want to say that I read the New York Times. I monitor the New York Times. I know the New York Times definitely has a political slant. It definitely leans to the left. But the good thing about reading the New York Times is you know that that's where they're coming from, and you also know that that's setting the agenda for all the people that kind of follow that persuasion. So if you're really only going to read two newspapers just for news content, I think the New York Times. And then also, again, the Wall Street Journal has become more of a daily newspaper, too, not just a financial newspaper. But if you read the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, you could pretty much triangulate between those two and have a really good idea of what's going on in the world. I literally, though, have hundreds of websites bookmarked. I mean, everything from the Common. I like to do things like Yahoo Finance, Yahoo News, because I know a lot of people go there. Same thing with Google News. But even reading some more obscure things like the Russian Times, the Daily Telegraph out of England. These are all good sources. And I love to spend my mornings filtering through and reading all these sources so I can get a good idea of what's happening in the world markets.
The next listener question that I'd like to address is about trading platforms. Where should you go if you want to trade your own stocks?
Well, I've used almost all of them over the years. I totally encourage you to use wherever you're paying the lowest transaction fees. And so that's generally at a discount broker. Charles Schwab, E-Trade, TD Ameritrade. All those companies are fine. Over the years, I've used them all. I've literally been with Charles Schwab for probably nearly 30 years, so I've had a continuous account open with them. And then also, as I try to save a little money here or try someone else's trading platform there, you know, I switch back and forth. I always kept my Schwab account open, but I'd go to E-Trade for a few years, or I'd go to TD Ameritrade back and forth, things like that. What I would tell you is just find the one that offers the lowest cost and provides you with the level of service that you need. Each one's a little different, but you know they're all the same. It's kind of like, is it a Ford or is it a Chevy? Is it a Mercedes or is it a BMW? A lot of it's just preference. I think most of these discount brokers are going to charge you less than $10 to make a stock transaction. So that's to either buy or sell.
a stock, you know, to actually make that trade, they're going to charge you, you know, $8, $9, $10, something like that. They're all pretty close to each other. In the big scheme of things, that transaction fee, as long as it's minimal like that, it really doesn't matter if it's $5 or $8. So you're moving in $10,000, $100,000, $200,000. Whether you're paying $5 for that or $10 for that, right, in the big scheme of things, it doesn't matter. It's just a few bucks. It's less than what you're going to spend for a Starbucks coffee or for lunch at Burger King. So don't sweat those little details. If you're someone that's out there day trading and you're making trades every 15 minutes, I can't give you advice. I don't do that. I don't recommend that. That's not the world that I live in. So you have to take that advice from someone else. What I'm talking to you about is just normal swing trading or normal places where you would put your IRA or your Roth that you're managing for yourself. Schwab, E-Trade, check them out online. They have examples of their platforms. You can see what they charge. Call them up. They'll be happy to talk you through it. I don't think you can go wrong in any of them. Now that I'm a professional money manager, and although I still maintain an account at Schwab just for personal reasons, all my client money, and in fact all my personal money that I have in the market, I do that through a professional service. It's a discount broker, but it's only available to people like myself, people that professionally manage money, people that are considered registered investment advisors. So I won't pass their name along to you. It wouldn't do you any good. But go out and use Schwab or E-Trade. They're all fine. Now, I continue to harp and talk to you about 50-day moving averages, 10-day moving averages, things like that. Our last episode, I talked about the 50-day moving average being kind of like a thin ice gauge or a thin ice sign. If your stock or your index fund is breaking below that 50-day moving average, maybe that's a red flag. Maybe that's an indication that that stock is on thin ice. And I continue to get questions about that and questions about how that relates to the volume of the stock that's sold. And these are good. These are fine. I don't mind getting the questions. I don't care if I'm going to have to explain this episode after episode. I want to make sure that you have clarity. These are hard concepts to understand, and I know they're not something that you've learned in school. So people have asked about that, and they asked about easy places to go find those kind of things. How do you see a stock's volume? How do you see if a stock's hitting its 50-day line? Well, I'm going to give you two easy websites to use, and I literally use probably, I don't know, 15 to 20 different websites. Some of them are paid subscriptions. Some of them I get for free. I'm not going to go through all those with you. I'm just going to give you two. But literally, I use, I say, 15 to 20 of these, and I use that because generically, they're all very much the same. They all provide nearly the same information. But that little 1 or 2 or 5% difference in information, that's unique to that particular website. So if I want to see a particular way that price-earnings ratios are displayed, maybe I have to go to website A. And if I want to see another thing about insider trading and how that's displayed, maybe I have to go to website B. Okay, but that's really down in the weeds, complicated things that I do as a professional money manager. And again, I said that some of these websites I go to, they're subscription-based where you have to pay a fee, others are free. But for your purposes, for you as an individual investor, you could probably just go to one or two websites, and you can pick the ones that work best for you. So from that standpoint, right, they're all good. Just again, is it a Ford? Is it a Chevy? Is it a Mercedes? Is it a BMW? People all day argue all day long what's the best, you know, car, what's the best luxury car. I don't argue about those things because I think it comes down to personal preference. So whether you're using CNN Money or whether you're using the Fox Business website or whether you're using Reuters or Bloomberg, or Wall Street Journal, or Motley Fool, or Yahoo Finance, or Google Finance, right? These are all have free versions. Some of them have pay versions, but for you using the free versions, just go check out a bunch of them. Whichever one works best for you, whichever one you can most relate to, that's the one you want to use. But let me give you two examples, and the first one is investors.com. Now, this is the website of Investors Business Daily. That's a newspaper that I like. It's a newspaper that I subscribe to. I'm a big fan of theirs. And while there's a premium site to investors.com, there's also free information. So one of the things you can get for free there is charts of indexes and stocks that'll list the stock price as well as how they relate to the 50 and the 200-day moving average. Now let me give you an example of this and talk you through how to do it. So go to investors.com. You'll probably get a bunch of pop-ups trying to get you to buy things. But just ignore all that. And across the top of the website, they always list for the S&P 500, for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and that's abbreviated DJIA, and then also for the NASDAQ. And you can clearly see just right across the banner of their top page where the market is either trading that day or where it closed for that day. And then they also give you the volume based on the previous day. They'll tell you what the volume is for the shares it traded that day, and they'll tell you whether that's higher or lower than the volume for the previous day. And then if you click on those, for example, if you click on S&P 500, it's written in blue on my screen. If I click on that at the top of their website, it'll pop up another window, and it'll show me a chart of the S&P 500. Now, again, when we talk about the S&P 500, we're basically talking about the market. So when you hear the market was up or the market was down, they're talking about the S&P 500, the top 500 blue chip stocks in America. Now, investors.com, when I clicked on S&P 500, it pops up a separate window. It brings me up a chart. And at the top of that chart, I can either pick daily, weekly, or intraday. For our purposes, we're just going to talk about the daily and the weekly. Now, when I look at that daily chart for the S&P 500, it'll show me a chart of the price action for each day. Each day has a tick or a line, and if the stock closed up that day, it'll be a blue line. If it closed down that day, it'll be a red line. These kind of representations are also called candlesticks. And generally, a candlestick chart will show you not only the movement for that day, but the opening price and the closing price. These ones actually only show you the closing price, so they're not a true candlestick representation. But it does show you the prices. So you can see a chart, and when you look at the daily chart, since it's showing you the transactions for each day, it only goes back for about 6 months or so. So in our cases, since we're in September, we're basically looking at, you know, year-to-date. We're seeing a chart representation of the S&P 500 going back to around December or January. You not only get to see how the stock has moved up, but again, you're seeing each day the volatility. So on days when the volatility of the stock was very high, meaning you might have had a very high opening price and then a very low closing price, there was a large spike in the line for that day. You can see that represented here. Other days you'll be able to see when there was very low volatility, when you almost just had a little tick instead of a long line. That's what I like about Investor's Business Daily. You can look at this and you can just get a real good snapshot for what volatility is today and what it has been over the last, say, as I said, 6 months or so. The other thing that this will clearly point out to you is there's a red or an orange line, and that's your 50-day moving average. And then there's also a black or a gray line, and that's your 200-day moving average. And I want to make a clarification on this again, so people have asked about it. When I talk about 50-day moving average, I say that's the average rolling price for about 2.5 months. You say, well, 50 days is 2.5 months. When we talk about a day, so if we're talking about a 10-day moving average or a 50-day moving average, we're talking about 10 trading days or 50 trading days. So 10 trading days would be 2 weeks, right? Because the stock market's only open Monday through Friday. So a 10-day moving average is going to tell you what happened, the average price of that stock movement over the last 2 weeks. A 50-day moving average is the last 50 trading sessions averaged. And so that works out to be about 2.5 months. The reason that's so critical is that earnings come out every 3 months. And so if you can get a representation of where the stock is trading today compared to where it traded over the last, you know, previous 3 months, you'll have an indication of how it either just performed coming out of earnings or what people are speculating the performance is going to be when the next earnings comes out. That's why the 50-day moving average is so important. Likewise, the 200-day moving average is about the average price over a year, because although there are 365 days in a year, there are only about 225 or 220 working days in a year. With the stock market, with holidays and things, it works out, again, closer to that 200 number. So that's why we use the 200-day, the 50-day, and then I also like to use the 10-day. In any case, back to investors.com. When you click on their charts to enlarge them and they open up in a separate window, again, it'll show you the price for the day. It'll show you that volatility. It'll cover it back for about a six-month period. And then you'll also be able to see the orange or red line, how that relates to the 50-day. And then that black or gray line, that's your 200-day moving average. So that's a very simple way to see where your stock is today, how it relates to those two averages, and then what it's performed like and what its volatility looks like over the previous 6 months. I can't encourage you any more highly than to go to Investors Business Daily. That's investors.com. Look at those free charts. If you look at the bottom of their chart, on the bottom part of it, they also list out the volume. And again, if you're on the daily chart, it'll show you the volume for every day. If it was an up day, if the stock closed up that day, the volume will be represented with a blue line. If the stock closed down that day, if its closing price was below the previous day, then the volume line will be red. And so by looking across the bottom of that chart, you'll see a bar graph which represents all the volume. And then there's also either a red or an orange line which goes through and shows you the average volume. And I believe their average volume is a 3 month. I believe it's a 3 month average volume that they show. So you can look at the top of the chart. You can see where your stock closed for the day. You can see how it relates over the last 6 months. You can see how that price relates to the 50-day average line. You can see how it relates to the 200-day moving average line. And then you can come down and look at the bottom of the chart at the bar charts, and you can see what the volume was for that particular day. Was it above average or was it below average? If you click on that chart and you drag your cursor along on each individual day. You'll also get some data. It'll tell you the high price of that stock for the day, the low price, what it closed at. It'll tell you what the actual volume was. It'll also tell you how that volume varied over that 3 months. So you're basically giving you the numbers behind the chart. It's a very simple and effective way to get a snapshot of a stock. Now, I also want to mention, I've been talking about daily. That's daily, how things work on each day. You can also click on the investor's charts, investor's business daily charts at the top, and it'll give you a snapshot of what things look like on a weekly basis. And why that's important is it's averaging everything over a week. So before, when you looked at one tick mark on the daily chart, it was showing you how that stock performed on that given day. It would show you all the volatility for that day. If you click on the weekly, now each tick mark is the average for that week, or it's the characterization of that stock's performance over the week rather than the day. So what it does, it helps to smooth things out. It helps to take a lot of the daily noise out of things. Generally, when I'm first studying a stock and I'm drilling down on the stock and I'm trying to get a big overview and to see its overall pattern, I look at the weekly chart. I don't look at the daily because the daily has too much noise in it. I look at the weekly. I can get a good, smooth idea of how that stock's performing. It paints a very nice, uncluttered picture of the stock by looking at the weekly chart. When I actually drill down and I want to pick out, okay, what actual price do I want to pay for it, or what actual price do I want to sell the stock for? Well, in that case, I'll look at the daily chart because I want to look at specific daily action, and I want all the noise in that case. I want to know exactly what it's trading at this moment because I want to get the best price for my stock. But when I want the big picture, when I'm doing that first big study, I'm looking at the weekly chart. But again, Investors Business Daily, investors.com, if you click on the weekly part, it'll show you what that stock looks like over a weekly basis. And instead of just showing you the stock's performance over the last 6 months, it'll actually go out over the last, say, 3 years or so. So that's why I say it takes out all that noise. It smooths it out for you. It gets you a long-term perspective of how the stock's performed. You can get a long-term idea of how that stock has trended. It also draws the moving averages for you. And in this case, although I vaguely refer to them as 50 and 200-day moving averages, they're really not calculated on a daily basis. They're calculated on a weekly basis. So the 50-day moving average would really be a 10-week moving average. And what I call the 200-day moving average is really like a 50-week moving average. But again, they're in that red or orange color, and then the black or the gray color. You can easily see the performance of your stock and how it reacts, what its personality is, how it reacts to that 50 and 200-day line. If it's a very consistent, very market-moving stock, it probably comes down, hits the 50-day moving average, bounces up. You'll see it go up for a while. It'll catch up to its 50-day moving average. It'll kind of hit it again and bounce up and move up again. That's really the kind of personality you want to see in a stock. You don't want one that's wildly volatile. You don't want one that's always breaking through its 50 and 200-day moving average, kind of going from feast or famine. That's a scary position to be in. So Investors Business Daily, the website is investors.com. Easy place for you to be able to see how your stock price is relating to that 50 and 200-day moving average, and also see the average volume and the volume for that particular day at the bottom of the chart. Now, in my illustration, I just told you how to do that for the indexes, for the S&P 500, for example, because it's across the top. There's also a spot in there that allows you to search. You'll see a little magnifying glass. You can go right in there and plug in whatever stock you want to look at. If you don't know the symbol of the stock, for example, you can just like type out Apple, and it'll automatically come up and it'll prompt you. It'll say, do you want to see the Apple quote? And if you click on that, it'll bring up some Apple information. Again, it may prompt you to try and get you to upgrade to premium or pay for some information. But filter through that, you will see that there's free information on each individual stock. Again, it'll show you a small chart of the stock, but if you click on that, or if you click on the tab that says enlarge chart, it'll blow that chart up. It'll open it up into its own separate window, and across the top, it'll say daily or weekly. And then you can drill down and see, do you want the specific information, the last 6 month chart for the day, or do you want to smooth out that noise and look at it on a weekly basis? So check that out, investors.com, good place to go. Another place that I'll recommend to you is Yahoo Finance. Just go into yahoo.com and you'll see along the left side, you'll be able to click on finance. It'll open up and take you to the financial page. Now, this isn't marginally different from Google Finance or Reuters or any of the other ones. What I like about Yahoo Finance is, for one thing, I've been using it forever. I've been using it for like 15 years, so I know where everything is at on it. The other thing is, this is the most widely read financial website. So by going there, you're not only going to get your own personal information, but you're going to get a good idea of what the majority of retail investors are seeing. And by being able to see those headlines, being able to see what the average person is reading, you'll be able to get a good idea for kind of average sentiment. If all the news is gloomy and doomy, then you could be pretty sure that the average investor is all downtrodden and he's all worried. If the news on Yahoo Finance is all glowing, and then you'll know that, well, the average investor is probably too euphoric. So it's a good way to gauge that. So once you get into Yahoo Finance, go to where it says quote lookup. Again, if you don't know your specific ticker symbol for the stock you're interested in, just start spelling it out. You just put in Apple, start spelling out Apple. It'll prompt you to asking if you want to go to Apple stock, which is AAPL. You can just click go for Apple, and it'll bring it right up for you. You not only get a snapshot of the information, but if you look down the left-hand side, there's just unbelievable amounts of information that are available. Key statistics, insider purchasing, headlines, profile, SEC filings. I mean, the information that's available to you for free here on Yahoo Finance. Just, you know, 10 years ago, you would have paid $1,000 a month or more to get, access to less information than this. And again, this is not unique to Yahoo Finance, Google Finance, Reuters. They all offer similar information. But what we want to talk about today, again, is just the charting part of it. So put in your stock that you want to look at. You bring up that snapshot. You'll see a small stock chart represented there. Just click on it. That should make it bigger. Bring it up so it fills your whole window. And then again, across the top of that, you'll see 1 day, 5 days, 1 month, 1 year, 5 years, like that. You can click different time frames that you want to look at. This allows you to drill down and be more specific than the last charts that we looked at investors were. But again, generally, if you're looking for overall trends, you're going to look at how the stock has performed over the last 6 months, over the last 1 year, over the last 2 years. So click on whatever the appropriate thing is. That'll bring up your chart. Oh, one thing I failed to mention. On your chart, when you first bring it up, if you haven't used it before, it's probably just going to put you in the basic chart. Look somewhere over to the left, and it'll give you an option to select basic technical analysis under charts. So you have your chart, and then it'll give you like interactive, basic chart, or basic technical analysis. You want to select the chart that is the basic technical analysis. So that'll give you some more variables. So when your chart opens up in the basic technical analysis, again, you'll see across the top the range, whether you want it to be 1 day or 1 month or 5 years or 1 year. Click the 1 or 2 year to give you a nice display of the chart. And then just below where it asks you the range, it'll say moving average. And again, that's what I talked to you about when I talked to you about the 50-day moving average. This is just the simple 50-day moving average. So where it says moving average there, what I like to look at is the 10, the 50, and the 200. Now, what Yahoo Finance will allow you to do, it'll allow you to click each one of those. So once you open up your specific stock that you want to look at, and you put it in the time frame you want to look at it at, click 10, and then click 50, and then click 200. And it'll not only chart out the actual stock price for you over the period you selected, but it'll also draw the 10-day moving average, the 50-day moving average, and the 200-day moving average. So very similar to what you saw over at the investors.com website, except this allows you to drill down a little bit more specific. It also will list you volume across the bottom of your chart in bar graph form. Now, it doesn't show you the average volume, but it will give you a bar graph representation of what the specific volume was for that particular period that you've selected. And so, again, you can see trends. You can see, was the volume moving up or is the volume moving down? Is the price of your stock moving up or is it moving down? How is it moving in relationship to the 50-day moving average or the 200-day moving average? These are all things that you can easily see at Yahoo Finance. So if you've never done that, I encourage you to go out to one of those sites, take a look at it.
Well, that'll wrap it up for today's episode. If you have comments or questions, please go over to wealthsteading.com. You can leave me a comment there. Again, I thank all of you that have either left a comment or a review for us in iTunes. If you haven't done that and you want to go over to iTunes or Stitcher and do that, I'd really appreciate it. Until next time, this is John Pugliano reminding you that money may not buy happiness, but it can buy freedom. It's what you make of it. Until next time, best returns.